Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again in the house of the Lord tonight. What a wonderful service yesterday and wonderful service last night. I just want to mention that Emmy spoke last night, Sister Emmy, and you know, there's nothing like hearing somebody's heart, hearing from the heart, and so we so appreciated that, Emmy, and it really made an impact on Pastor Ken and I and Debbie and those of us who were here last night. We're going to continue on A Bride for Isaac tonight, and I titled this She Said Yes, because we're at that point in the study tonight. And so I'm going to just go over a little bit of review for you. And last week we talked about how Abraham in this account represents God the Father. Isaac represents Jesus, who was our sacrifice. And we introduced another individual last week, a man named Eliezer, who was Abraham's chief steward. And actually, after doing some research, I found that Eliezer actually means God is my help. So it's no mistake that he represents the Holy Spirit. That's kind of cool stuff to know, by the way, when someone's name matches up with what's going on in the Word. So Eliezer means God is my help and the Holy Spirit is our helper. So last week, we talked about how Abraham was sending Eliezer to find a bride for his son Isaac. And interestingly, Abraham told Eliezer that he did not want Isaac to take a bride from Canaan, where they were presently living, but he requested that Eliezer go back into Mesopotamia, the place that God had originally asked Abraham to leave, which sounded a bit strange to me, and also told him to leave his family there, Abraham. So now, why is Abraham, if God told you to leave that place and take your family from that place, why now, Abraham, are you telling Eliezer to go back to Mesopotamia, the place God told you to leave, and get a bride for your son if you're supposed to come out of there? Well, I questioned that and prayed about that, and the Holy Spirit really revealed the answer to me because I had questions about that. First of all, we know that Mesopotamia, the reason God brought Abraham out is because he brought him out of idol worship, right? They did not serve God. So Abraham told Eliezer, by the way, last week we talked about this, two times he said, do not take my son there. Now you're sending their steward to go get your son a bride, but Isaac is 37 years old at this time, and he doesn't want Isaac to go and get his own bride. Why is that? And there's a very good reason for that. And God just really, the Holy Spirit told me this. First of all, he didn't want his son to go back into Mesopotamia because they still continued to serve idols and not God. And his son might enjoy Mesopotamia, find a bride there, settle down there, and thus be seduced into idol worship. So he doesn't want his son going into Mesopotamia. But watch this. God has no problem with the Holy Spirit getting us out of the place of idol worship. So to bring Rebecca out of there is a whole different thing. You're rescuing somebody. You're bringing them out of idol worship, not bringing them back in. So he didn't want Isaac to go in, and he did want Rebecca to come out. So it's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit bringing us out of the place that we used to be years ago. So we talked about the fact that Eliezer prayed and believed that God would direct him, and that in order to choose a girl, he said she would ask him, he would ask the girl to give him some water, and the girl would say, and I'll also water your camels. We talked about the fact that there were 10 camels, and that the Bible says that she offered to water those camels until they were satisfied, which would have taken at least 2 to 3 hours of her bringing water back and forth, and not any time did Eliezer offer to help her. So keep in mind, there were 10 of them, and she did that because hospitality was encouraged in those days. And interestingly, as Eliezer was praying, before he finished the prayer, here up comes Rebecca. God answers our prayer sometimes right as we're praying or even before we can even ask him. And that's a wonderful thing. And she tells him we got provision for you and camels. And so he basically asked, you know, can me and my 10 camels and my guys who came with me, can we come and stay at your dad's house? And so you can picture Rebecca. She says yes. You can come home and stay at my dad's house. That is very interesting that you picked up a guy at the well with his 10 camels and all, and you brought him home. I can imagine how they felt, because I have a story to tell that kind of might help you with this. Many years ago, my sister Sandy and I were at a Pizza Hut over here on Pulaski. And Sandy went to use the restroom, and while she was in the restroom, this nice gentleman behind me, this guy behind me, said, "Hey, honey, are you by yourself today?" And I said, "No, actually, I have my sister. She's in the restroom, and she'll be out soon." And he said to me, he said, "Would you mind if I joined you for lunch today?" He said, "I would pay for the lunch, because I'm work for the railroad. I'm out of town. I'm staying at the Rolling Wheels Motel." And I said, "Of course you can join us for lunch, because that's who I am, not who Sandy is. So it's who I am." And so Sandy walks out of the restaurant, and right about that time, the hostess says, "How many will there be?" And I say, "Three." Sandy begins to look around and notices that the gentleman is coming with us to the table. And she shoots me the stink eye right away. You know, she's right away. She's just got the stink eye going on. She's like, "What is this?" So we sit down, and I say, "Sandy, this is Walter. Walter, this is my sister Sandy." And they, you know, kind of introduce herself. Well, the whole time, during the whole pizza lunch, Sandy's just shooting me daggers like, "If he doesn't kill you, I will. I'm going to kill you when we get out of here." But I can imagine how this happens. You don't just get people, but I'm that kind of person. And evidently, Rebecca was that kind of person, too. So she decided that she would take this gentleman home with her 10 camels and face her family come what may. And so in verse 30 it says, "And it came to pass," this is talking, we're going to be talking about a man named Laban for just a second, "and it came to pass when Laban saw the earring and bracelets that Eliezer had given her on his sister's hands, and when he heard the words, her story that she told, that what happened at the well," I didn't have time to tell Sandy my story, "of his sister, she said, 'Thus spoke the man to me that he came, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well.'" Now, Laban, the brother, this is Rebecca's brother, she comes home with this guy and the camels, but she also comes home with Tiffany gold jewelry. Okay, now this is a good thing. This, all of a sudden, brother Laban looks and goes, "She's got gold, pure gold. She's dripping in gold. She's got bracelets. She's got stuff." And so now he's interested in this guy. I shouldn't say the guy. He's interested in the gold, okay? He's not interested in hearing about God or the guy or how they met. He's interested in the gold. And so he, Laban, said, "Come on in, buddy. You are," that's my word, buddy, "you are blessed, you who are blessed of the Lord. Wherefore, stand you outside." Don't stay outside. No, no, no. Come on in. "Why are you just standing outside? For I, Laban," the brother here, "have prepared the house and the room for the camels. I've done all this for you." He did no such thing. Are you kidding? She just, you know, he's trying to take credit. So he's very welcoming, this young man, because of, keep in mind, because of the gold, because it'll come into play later. Genesis 24:32 says, "And the man came into the house, and he, Laban, ungirded his camels." He took care of the camels. Now Laban's, first the daughter, Rebecca's watering the camels. Now we see Laban is taking care. He's unhitching the camels. That word ungirded means unhitch the camels, and gave straw and provisions for the camels and water to wash the feet of the men's feet that were with him. So Laban is going above and beyond. And again, I'm going to say it, because of the gold. And then verse 33 says, "And then there was meat, a meal set before Eliezer to eat. But he said, 'I will not eat until I have told my business.' And Laban and the father Bethuel said, 'Go ahead, say it, speak on.'" And the word errand means business, mission, purpose. So he's fixing to explain why he's here. And he said this, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He is prosperous, very prosperous, and he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold," which he knew about, the gold, "and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." He's explaining, Abraham's servant, and Abraham is rich, 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 rich. He said that for a reason, because he's wanting a bride, and he's wanting them to know that she will be well taken care of if she comes with us. And he's about to ask for her. "And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old," a miracle. "And unto him, the son, hath he given all he had." Now their ears are really open. Okay, we've got all this stuff. My master Abraham has gold, gold, silver, silver, herds, maid servants. You've got maids. You've got butlers. You've got everything. You've got flocks. You've got cattle, big steak dinners. And I've given it all to my son. And he's asking for a bride for the son. And my master made me vow, saying, you shall not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but go to my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, what if the woman will not follow me? And he said to me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send an angel with you. His angel, which is interesting, by the way, with you. So he's not alone, really. God's sending his angel with him. And prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son. In other words, your mission is going to be successful. If you go, I've gone ahead of you. I've sent someone. I've gone ahead of you. I prepared the way. So you just go and do what you do, and you will be able to complete your mission. And if she won't come, then you shall be free from what you promised me. And when you come to my kindred, if they, now watch this, if they give you not one, in other words, if they won't give you a bride, then you shall be free from my vow. So he's telling Laban and the family all about his mission. It's a God mission. Abraham serves the Lord. God has blessed him, but there's an heir involved. And his son's going to be wealthy one day. And Eliezer's responsible to obey Abraham and find a wife. And if they, meaning you guys who are here, Bethuel, Laban, if you won't do this, it's okay because then I'm free. I've done what I was sent here to do. And it's as when the Holy Spirit has us go to someone. Maybe you're a person and the Holy Spirit will have you go to someone. And you're supposed to do what God has put on your heart to do and say what God has asked you to say. And if they say no, then you've done your job. And the Bible speaks to that. You can dust your feet off and you can walk away after that. But you first have to speak up. So Eliezer tells the family the story. He says, I prayed on this very day that we're talking about. Let this happen. Let these things happen. And they actually happen. And then he asked whose daughter she was. And she told him. And so I worshiped the Lord and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter to his son. Bethuel, who is the father, Laban, who is the son, are the ones responsible, as per the custom of the day, for saying, watch this, yes or no. The custom of the day, now I want to tell you this in the beginning, was not for the girl to say yes or no. It was not. The custom of the day was for the father and the brothers to make that decision, yes or no. But in this story, because this is a God story, things are going to change. God doesn't have to follow the customs of the day, does he? He does not have to follow your tradition in your family. And so Eliezer tells the story and tells the men, that's why he's talking to them, because he knows the custom. If you will deal kindly with my master, Abraham, tell me, say it. If you're going to say yes, just tell me. And if not, tell me that so that I may turn to the right hand or the left so I can just go and get out of here. So I can go, the correct translation actually in fullness is, so I might go about my business, whether I go to the left or the right, it's no concern of yours. Just say a clear yes or no. So these men, they could have made a decision on the spot because that was their responsibility and that was their custom. They could have given Rebecca and said, you must go with him. He's rich. You must go with him. It's our decision. For a price, you leave something behind here. But they did something out of character, out of the custom of the day, and it really speaks to us as the bride of Christ. Verse 50 says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing that's coming out of your mouth that proceedeth is from the Lord. This thing that you're saying here, we perceive this is from the Lord. This came from God. And we just almost have nothing to say. The Bible says they answered, we can't speak to you good or bad. We just don't have anything to say except this must come from God, all these things, because they had heard everything that happened. And we really don't know what to think about, and we really don't know what to do about it. So verse 51 says, and so they answered again and said, listen, behold, Rebecca is before you. She's right here. So she was in close proximity, by the way, by this time. She's here, or in the house, whatever the translation may be. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. They are willing to give her up, but here it takes a little bit of a turn because they have a touch of uncertainty, a couple of them. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Now, I want to point out something before we continue on. I want to point out that up until this time, every time Eliezer prayed, he prayed these words, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Now, how many of you think that that's a great prayer? It's not. It's not. I don't sit down and pray, O Lord, thy God of Frida, the God, I beseech you in the name of the God Miriam serves. I don't do that. But in verse 24:48, for the very first time, Eliezer himself bows to the ground. Before, he just bowed his head and he said, according to the God of my master Abraham. But now he's literally on the ground worshiping God for himself because finally he realizes. You know, remember, he had some doubt because he asked Abraham, what if the girl won't go? Abraham had to remind him, I'm sending you and I'm sending God with you. And so it's very interesting that we can't answer like that, but he's making a change in his heart. He's, you know, sometimes the messenger gets blessed too. I mean, in the miracle of the wedding of Cana, it's the servants that knew. They knew all about, listen, we don't have wine. We can't make it. There's none in the back. So when wine showed up, guess who knew? It was the servants. And here he's worshiping God, but he had called him the Lord of my God, of Abraham, but now he's changing things. Let me read to you verse 24:52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, releasing Rebekah, he knew that God had done this. He worshiped the Lord and he bowed himself to the earth. And I love that happened. And in verse 53, and then the servants of Abraham brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment because the deal's almost sealed. The guys are willing to do it, okay? They know it's God. They're willing to do it. Gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So the family's getting gifts now. They're getting pricey Tiffany's gifts. I mean, these are great things. They all got gifts. They celebrated. They had dinner. They had meals. They rejoiced. And then the very next day, wasting no time, Eliezer said, send me away to my master. Now, I want to say that Eliezer did the right thing because when God sends you on a mission, you need to do it. You need to do it quickly. You need to be obedient and complete it. But remember, Abraham did not mean, once again, I repeat myself, for Eliezer or anyone else to stay in Mesopotamia for any length of time because they worshiped idols, right? And so there's the matter of the family. So something interesting happens real quickly here, and we're not going to be long, but this is what happens. And her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few more days, at least 10 days. And after that, she can go. And he said, Eliezer, to them, hinder me not. Don't stop me from this. See, the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so I can go to my master. He knows that if he should linger, this family, they've already got the gifts. They might change their mind. 10 days is a long time. Let me tell you something. A couple days is a long time to stay in a place of idol worship, to stay in a place where you don't belong. Because if you know my saying, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. So Laban and the family said something very interesting. And this is unprecedented. I just want to tell you tonight, this is unprecedented in the Word of God. Because this did not happen according to custom. The men made the decisions. They made the decisions. And so here's what they say. We're going to call the girl and see what she has to say about this. Wow. Wow, okay, we get women's rights here. All of a sudden, it just shows up in the Bible. And God cares about women. God cares about girls. He lets us make some decisions. And here it is. We're going to call the girl and see what she says. Such a beautiful story. 58 says, and they called Rebekah, and they said to her, and it's the most beautiful thing, because this is the question that Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, that we are asked of the Lord, will you go with this man? Because you know Isaac represents Jesus Christ. And this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit showing up and saying, how I came upon you is a miracle. And the Holy Spirit's trying to draw Rebecca out and to the sun. And that's a picture of us. And they called Rebecca and said, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She had never met this man until this day. And Rebecca represents you and I in the story, the bride, the one that is chosen. She was chosen. She was set apart. That's just like you and I. And I want to say something to you. It isn't up to your brother. It isn't up to your father. It isn't up to your neighbor, your friend, your relatives, if you will go with Jesus. If you will go by the calling of the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Son, it's up to you. And it was so beautiful that one of the things that I loved was that faith, sight unseen, the faith that this girl must have had. She had not seen Isaac. What she had to trust was the word of Eliezer, the Holy Spirit leading us. She had to trust him. And there are two meanings in the question. First, will you go with this man? The man that they were talking about was not Isaac. Will you go with Isaac? Do you understand? You're going to Isaac, but will you go with the Holy Spirit? Will you go with him? Will you go? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit, Eliezer, lead you to the Son? And that's our question. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. Did you know that no man comes to the Father but by the Holy Spirit? That we follow his lead, that he puts it in our heart, that it is the Holy Spirit. So Rebecca went away, leaving also her family behind. Can you imagine that? You have to really know it's from God, don't you, to make a move like that. You have to know it's from God. And she did have the blessing of her family, and I would encourage all of you to get the blessing if a young lady is supposed to get married, get the blessing of your family. So Rebecca went away, and I see so many times when the Holy Spirit is pursuing someone, and so grateful that he pursued me. And the answer for all of us should just be yes, yes, yes. And I want to mention, and I don't want to make this clear, when the servant was praying, God did answer immediately. And interestingly, the girl, Rebecca, remember, she was the first one to arrive at the well. And I want to talk about that well for just a second because this is super cool. She showed up before he had even finished his prayer. So she's right there before he finished his prayer. The word says, behold, he looked up, and there she was, heading in his direction, and he ran to her. This was what we call a divine appointment. This was arranged by God, this meeting. And as we close tonight, we see that Rebecca and her maids, they rode on camels. And we're going to talk about something just for 2 seconds here. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Laharoi. Laharoi means the living God who sees me. For he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening, which translates pray. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I want to say something else. Nowhere in the Bible does it say at all that Isaac knew that Eliezer had gone to find him a wife. Now, he may have known it, he may have not, but the Bible pretty much is clear that he did not know it. I do not believe that he knew it. I believe that this was a surprise for him. The Holy Spirit has a lot of surprises for us, and they're all good. And here's why I believe this. Let's read on verse from 64 to 66. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said to her servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. But verse 66 is why I believe that Isaac did not have knowledge of Eliezer going for a bride. And the servant Eliezer, not Abraham, the servant Eliezer told Isaac all the things that he had done. The servant was telling Isaac, now this is what I did. This is what I did. It was the servant revealing where and what he had been doing. And I really love that. I really love that. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I want to talk about this verse. Rebecca became Isaac's wife immediately. Does that seem just a bit strange to you? It's not if it's the Holy Spirit. But there was something that here that's pretty powerful, in the part where she said, where the Bible says she became his wife and he loved her. I noticed something, that it did not say he loved her or fell in love with her and then she became his wife. Do you know that that is the custom of our Western world today, that we fall in love with someone and then they become husband or wife? But in the custom of their world, it was you become the wife or husband and then you choose to love that person. How many of you know that love is not a feeling? And that's where we get in a lot of traps, that we need to have the Holy Spirit arrange our marriages just like this and decide. And we can love because God has put love in our heart. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. But I want to point out some trivia tonight. I want to share something with you. Let's go back to the well real quick as our praise team comes. Isaac came, I'm going to read to you 62 again, I'm going to talk to you about Lahairoi. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi. It's really called Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to pray in the field at night and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camel was coming. Do any of you know anything about the well, or have you ever heard of the well of Lahairoi, which means the well of the living God who sees me? Isaac is at the well of the living God who sees me. Anybody remember Hagar? Anybody remember the thirst out in the desert? Anyone remember a young lady who felt all alone, who felt like no one seen her pain, no one understood what she had been through at all, and that she was thirsty and had her son with her, and God provided water? And guess who named the well that Isaac's standing at today? Hagar named the well Lahairoi, the living one who sees me. And now here Isaac is, and he's seeing his bride for the first time. And it's so cool. I just think all of it, how it ties together. Isaac and Ishmael are half brothers. And Hagar was part of that entourage too. And I just think it's so cool that God let her name that well. And that everyone who went that well, and do you know that Isaac chose to settle down by that well? You know, Ishmael and Hagar, they moved on from the well. They moved away from the well. They went their way. They went another path. They just did. It's just the facts. But Isaac settled down by the well of the living God who sees me. And there he dwelt. And that well provided water for years and years and years. Years that well was there, the living. I just think that it's so beautiful how the Bible puts all of this together, and how what I'm taking from this tonight is that the Holy Spirit needs to help us make our decisions. We need to follow his leading. We need to be ready to say, yes, I will go with this man. I will serve Jesus. I will let you lead me. And I will listen to what I hear. You know, she had to hear about Isaac first. And that's where we come in, telling people about our Isaac, Jesus. Where we tell them about Jesus. That's how they're going to hear. And then the Holy Spirit will do his work. After they hear about who our Isaac is, Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will start working on them. And wow, I love something else. Eliezer, who gave the gifts? The one who represents the Holy Spirit was the one who started giving the gifts. Does he not give us some awesome gifts? I think he does.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.